The Stoic philosopher Seneca, who lived in Rome around the same time Jesus was alive, wrote these words, quote, "To be everywhere is to be nowhere." To be everywhere is to be nowhere. The digital age is wonderful. Our devices are good tools that give us so much potential for good and beautiful things. But if we don't walk in wisdom, they have power to contribute to an isolation, a fragmentation, and a loneliness that is devastating. Social media gives us the opportunity to be everywhere, hyper-connected. But to be everywhere is to be nowhere. Our Savior Jesus said it this way, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And Jesus, we come to you again right now and ask that you would shape us, that you would move us out of isolation, out of emptiness, out of fragmentation, and into real, beautiful, rich, messy, complicated, but beautiful community. And we pray this in your name. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Albert Schweitzer, "We're all so much together, but we're all dying of loneliness." Mother Teresa, "The biggest disease today is not leprosy or tuberculosis, but rather the feeling of being unwanted, uncared for, and deserted by everybody. The greatest evil is the lack of love and charity, the terrible indifference towards one's neighbor." We've got a loneliness problem in our age. As we talk about the beautiful things the digital age can provide, it's not news to you that we are struggling with isolation and loneliness. The Angus Reid Institute, in partnership with Cardis, did a survey to explore human connection amongst Canadians today, and here's what they found. 62% of Canadians say they would like their friends and family to spend more time with them. It's almost two-thirds of our nation. 41% of Canadians wish they had someone to talk to, but don't. 47% of Canadians feel lonely and wish they had more friendly human contact. Now, finally, that's almost half of our nation. And only 14% of Canadians would describe the current state of their social lives as, quote, "very good." 14%. Can I tell you something crazy? These numbers are from 2019. Something kind of big happened between 2019 and now. It shall remain nameless. It gets way too much credit these days. I will not mention it right now. But what has that thing done to contribute to deeper loneliness and isolation? In the words of one of the most haunting songs in all of pop culture, the Beatles' Eleanor Rigby, "All the lonely people, where do they all come from?" Okay, time for some irony. Ready? Here it is. Mark Zuckerberg, in 2017, said the following. Quote, "Studies have proven the more connected we are, the happier we feel, and the healthier we are." End quote. I almost fell backwards in my chair when I read that, laughing. Like, I almost went, "Whoa!" At this point, he went on to talk about the dreams that Facebook had and Instagram had of greater connectivity amongst people. And I was wanting to like literally pull my hair out because I was like, yes, Mark, true. That is like a true statement. Like, studies have proven the more connected we are, the happier we are. But that's not the question, is it? The question is what kind of connection, right? That's the question. Right? What kind of connection offers you happiness and health? The metaverse? Second life? Virtual reality? More Instagram than you currently have now? More Facebook than you currently have now? For your avatar to like meet people and shake their hands? What kind of connectivity are we talking about, right? By the way, Mark Zuckerberg, deeply loved by God, right? I totally get that. I'm just having an issue with his quote, okay? What kind of connectedness, Mark, right? That's the real question we're trying to get at here. Because you and I were created for real community, right? Authentic community. And as I'm going to say probably 20 more times, probably messy community, diverse community. Communities where we forgive one another, right? Extend forgiveness. We in Canada were created for real connection, deep care, real support, and real love. So don't get me wrong, social media is a great tool, right? It is a great tool, and I hope that you've heard us say that for several weeks now. It simply is a tool. Today, we're not here to demonize social media. It is a tool. And as we've said before, sometimes we as Christians get into this hyper-legalistic, like, it's all good or it's all evil, or is it, like, totally good or bad or whatever? And it's like, ugh, it can sometimes feel like legalism. And I'm on a real edge of getting there myself in my own life. But pardon, you know, I'm sorry if I go overboard at times, but I just want to let you know that, like I truly do believe that these are tools, and we're called to figure out their proper place. And they ain't going anywhere, right? All of a sudden, cell phones aren't just going to disappear, right? Or social media is not going to suddenly disappear. We have to figure out how to live in this world using these tools in a way that leads to life, in a way that allows us to love God and love our neighbor. So, what are their proper place? And so I want to talk, what is the proper place of social media? As we think about moving out of isolation and loneliness and into genuine, real community. So I really want to talk about some positive things about social media. And these are things you know. So obviously, social media allows us to be connected with our friends, reunited with old friends. You know, the kid that you used to play on the street with, you know, you're reconnected on Facebook, the friend from elementary school or whatever, college friends that you haven't seen in years. And you're just like, you're connected with them. And it's beautiful, right? So beautiful. And then social media allows us to have these images that we can share with each other about our lives or videos, right? So you're able to share, as we've mentioned before, just the birth of a baby or the beautiful vacation that you took or real, you know, there's a wedding that takes place and we get to kind of share collectively in that joy. Social media is also just fun, right? It's fun. It's fun to laugh together. We can laugh with those who are laughing. We can also weep with those who are weeping. Pray for them, and so we're connected, and it's beautiful. And on a more serious note, my friend David made a really good point. He reminded me that social media can actually be a place where people can open up in a way that they can't sometimes in real life. They almost need like a bridge to that face-to-face conversation, and social media can provide that because people might feel like, you know, there's a difficult thing, but they can type it out. And they can process their thoughts, and they can be a little bit more authentic or vulnerable or open with someone they trust online. And that then could lead to deeper conversations and deeper friendship. So wow, right? Like beautiful. It's so beautiful. And all of this is positive. And I could say but here, but I'm going to say and. And simultaneously, loneliness is on the rise, right? Loneliness is on the rise. So what do we do? Jonathan Haidt and Gene Twenge are authors who are psychologists and have spent years studying the effect of smartphones and social media on our lives and on our mental health. And they wrote about teenagers and loneliness. So I'm focusing this way, my teenage friends. Teenagers and loneliness. And here's what they said. And this is not on the screen. This is just a quote. They said, in a paper we just published in the Journal of Adolescence, we report that in 36 out of 37 countries, loneliness at school has increased since 2012. So they only studied 37 countries, and they found in 36 of them, loneliness was on the rise amongst teenagers. Teenage loneliness was relatively stable between 2000 and 2012, with fewer than 18% of teenagers reporting high levels of loneliness. Okay? But in the 6 years after 2012, rates increased dramatically. And catch this, they roughly doubled in Europe, Latin America, and English-speaking countries. So from 2012 till 2018, loneliness numbers doubled. And again, doesn't include what we've been going through the last 2 years, right? So where are loneliness numbers amongst teenagers at now? Isolation, feelings of being alone, See, high levels of loneliness amongst teenagers has doubled in the past 10 years. And has the loneliness come from increased time on screens, away from real people and real face-to-face relationships? One of the images that I really appreciate is the image of how, if you think of like a metaphor for the digital world or for relationships, all of our digital platforms and devices are like the front door of a house. So just roll with me here on just this image, okay? So the front door of a house, or maybe that like the foyer, or just like, you know, if I came to your house, wherever it is that I come in, greet you, take off my shoes, whatever, okay? That space. Jay Kim, in his book Analog Church, writes about the beautiful role that social media can play as the front door to relationships. It's the, hey, how's it been? Oh, what's going on? Oh, good to see you. It's that, right? But we all know that in our homes, the real life, the real deep conversations happen where? Either in the living room or the kitchen, right? We know that. And actually, probably more so the kitchen than the living room, right? If you think of, if you think about it. And so for many families, and so there's this sense in which, you know, that you're there in the kitchen, you're in the living room, and you're having deep, open conversations. This is where people are more likely to cry, to walk through things, to practice forgiveness, right? And so that's where real life happens. And so Jay Kim says, here's the deal. Our digital platforms and devices are wonderful. They're wonderful as a great front door, but not a great kitchen, not a great living room. Life happens in the living room and the kitchens. It's where the good stuff is. And so are we trying, this is the question, are we trying to get social media to become the living room? Are we trying to get social media to become the kitchen? I don't think social media can deliver on that. This is me. I'm presenting a thesis to you, okay? I don't think it'll deliver on that. I don't think the metaverse will deliver on that promise. I don't think that you and your avatar will experience that level of love, care, and authenticity in a digital space as you, like, it's a great front door. Beautiful, beautiful connections. It can't be the kitchen. Now, I know that we are here, we're joined in, we're even tuned in online because we have a hunger for deep, real authenticity, real community. We're longing for it, right? You could have been many other places this morning. You could have been, right? Beautiful other places. You could have been having brunch today, somewhere at some nice restaurant. You could have been on the golf course today. Some of you could have put on those little tight outfits and got on your bicycle and bike around. I don't have such a tight outfit, so I can make fun of people who have those little outfits. You do your thing, right? You could have been doing all kinds of things on a Sunday, right? But you're here. Why are you here? Why did you carve out the time to tune in, to be here, to be present? Because I think you are wanting more of Jesus, that there is this hunger for actual connection with real people. There's a hunger there. And I want to give you a beautiful passage of scripture where we see beautiful Christian community in the book of Acts. So would you take your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 2. This is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. And I told the first service, I think that is starting to mean nothing to you when I say favorite passage of the Bible, because I think I've mentioned that too many times, too many verses. But this one really is one. I don't know what I've said in previous weeks about favorite passages, but this is one of them. And this, when we read it, it feels like a cool glass of water on a hot day. It just is so beautiful as you see the richness of Christian community. So here a little bit of background if you're new to Jesus. In the story of Jesus' life, he's died, he's already rose from the dead, and he spent 40 days with his followers, and then he ascended to heaven. And he told his followers, he said, wait in the city of Jerusalem, and I'm going to pour out my spirit on you. So sure enough, that happened. The Holy Spirit came upon early believers, and Peter was preaching boldly. 3,000 people were added to become Jesus followers, or they called them followers of the way of Jesus. And they're all in Jerusalem together, a diverse community, and praying together, loving one another. And I want you to get a snapshot of what it looked like. So, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So this is the word of the Lord. I'm just so thankful to God. When we say thanks be to God, I'm so thankful for this. What a beautiful picture of love. This is what happens. You know, we think, well, what happens when Jesus, you know, shapes your life? What happens when the Holy Spirit moves in your life? It's this. They devoted themselves. Look at verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Notice, they devoted themselves to fellowship. Are we devoting ourselves to fellowship? Devoted, as some of you know, is one of my favorite Greek words, proskartereo. Proskartereo. And you can define it as devoted, steadfast, continuing all the time in a place, persevering and not fainting, constantly waiting, constantly ready. Now insert community. So this group was devoted to fellowshipping with each other. They were steadfast in fellowshipping with each other. They were continuing all the time. They were persevering. They were not fainting in their community with each other. Like, what does this mean? This probably means that they were going through hard, difficult conversations. It means that they were probably having to work out struggles that they had. It means they had to say, I'm sorry, and they say, I forgive you, and to, can you help me understand? And like, they had to work through challenges together. Some of them would then end up having to grieve over the loss of loved ones together. Very soon after this, in the book of Acts, the first martyr of the church, Stephen, would be stoned to death. And so what would this early church have to do to support each other in that moment of death? Like, this group of people loved one another and supported each other, and they were devoted. And here's what I want us to see, is that this community gave each other the gift of presence. Not T-S, but C-E, okay? Presence to each other. The salvation they received from Jesus, the filling of the Holy Spirit, led to the gift of presence in each other's lives. Let's go back to Christmas for a minute. We talk a lot about Christmas at Christmas, but not a lot about Christmas not at Christmas. So let's talk about it. Just remember the incarnation. It's the moment God comes to be with us. Okay? God came in the flesh as a real human being. God gave the world the gift of his presence among us. And note, God didn't just send a message of his gospel. Is the gospel a message? Absolutely. But what did he do? He gave the message. It was an embodied message. He came with it. He moved into the neighborhood. He didn't just text it or email it to us. Or, I don't know, in the ancient world, the version of text or emailing would be like a carrier pigeon with papyrus. And he didn't write it and just go, hey, this is what you should do, and drops the papyrus on the early church. And they unroll it, and they're like, okay, that's what we should do. No, what did God do? God moved in. Listen to Scott McKnight. He said this, quote, for some people, Christianity is digital. God sent a message to us and we pick it up somehow. But God didn't send a message, God sent his son. Now, by the way, Scott McKnight knows that the gospel is a message as well. But the message came embodied in Jesus. In other words, God came as a real person for real relationship with his world. God could have just sent a message on papyrus or golden, you know, stones or something like that. But the whole point, if the whole point was just information, sure, right? But God didn't do that. He moved into the neighborhood. He became flesh and dwelt among us. And John, the follower of Jesus, says, and we have seen him with our own eyes. We've seen him. And so Scott McKnight says this about church. He says, one can't do church digitally. The important things about church life are all embodied. Knowing one another, loving one another, sitting and standing and praying with one another. All right, the elephant in the room. Many of you are joining us digitally. Okay, and for 2 years, many of you who are here joined digitally. And I just want to say this. In the last couple years, this has been something we had to do. It's not ideal. It's not ideal. And I know many of you who are watching from home, I know for many of you, it's your great desire that one day you could be here, right? I know there might be some you know, immunocompromised situations or whatever it is. And I get that, right? And we're living in complicated times and we're all having to make different decisions. But what I want to say is that the pandemic should be an anomaly, right? Not the ongoing real thing. That my hope is that as we continue on, is that we're able to move out of digital spaces into real community, right? And our many digital watchers, that is not at all shaming you at all. We get it. You're walking through your particular story and you need to make, it needs to make sense for you when you return in person. Totally, right? We all get that. We are not here to judge each other. But my hope is that in the coming weeks, months, years, whatever, that we are growing deep seeds of relationship here, embodied, in person, seeing each other, walking with each other through the hard times. And so I want to ask this question. If I were to ask you one-on-one, if we were to sit down and have coffee, if I were to ask you this question, are you in a place where you're happy with how you are loving others and being loved by others? Are you happy? Are you in a good place? And if not, the question is, has social media become a place for you where the tool is no longer a casual front door, but you are longing for this tool to bring you real love, care, connection, friendship, like a kitchen? And you're starting to notice, and maybe you would never have said it until right now, right? You go, yeah, totally. I feel like I'm some of those people earlier on in that survey, right? Where over half, where, you know, almost half of Canadians are feeling this way. That I don't have someone that I can go to in a time of crisis. That I don't have a strong network around me. Where I'm not in a place where I'm really loving others and sacrificing for others and praying for others. And I want that. And social media is something that's pulling me deeper into loneliness than helping me. So I want to argue today that there is this beautiful, deep, rich community that Jesus is calling you to. Messy, absolutely. But Jay Kim, in his book Analog Church, he writes this. Quote, don't like something someone said on your Facebook feed? Unfriend them. Annoyed by someone's endless stream of gratuitous food pics on your Instagram feed? Unfollow them. How many of you wanted to amen that moment right there? Irritated by the opinions of someone on Twitter? Block them. All these options can be activated with the push of a button in a split second. But analog communities, and I love that, just highlight that, analog communities, are different. When we show up in the flesh, it's not as easy to unfriend, unfollow, and block. Because despite our differences and incompatibility, here we are. I love that. You gotta take all of me, here I am. Ready for some community, right? All of my sin, my brokenness, my weirdness, you know, but also joys and whatever, we're here. We're ready for community. Here we are. It's not as easy in real life to unfriend, unfollow, and block. By the way, there's a whole separate conversation we can have about good boundaries. I recognize some of you in life are practicing some of those things. I get it. I'm talking about the main here, right? Is that that we show up and we say, here I am, all of me. You know, it's interesting, right? Because we have this ideal of Christian community in your mind. If I talk to you about the ideal Christian community, you know, it's like a, you can imagine like a commercial. You know those commercials? They're often like beer commercials where everyone seems to be just loving life. And they're like in the Rocky Mountains and there's like outdoor lights hanging everywhere and they're around a campfire. They're all laughing at a joke. They all rolled out of H&M somehow. They all look like, and you know, they're all these gorgeous people and they're all just like, ha, 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 you know, just get, and you're like, that's what I want for community, you know, or whatever. And it's like, that doesn't exist. It does not exist, right? Those are all paid actors, right? So here's the deal. Do we have beautiful moments in life? Absolutely, totally. We've been there, right? But the point is that real, honest community involves messiness, real people, complicated relationships. And but there's a joy there. There's a joy in really knowing someone and being known by them. And so we turn away from the utopian idealism of community, and we go, right here. It's these people. It's us together. We get to walk together as we follow Jesus. We get to be present to one another in the flesh. We can no longer just unfriend, unfollow, or block each other. We're called to walk with each other in the joy and the pain of all of it. So I want to talk about this gift of presence, and I just want to say two quick things, two things. What does it mean to be present in a loving way in each other's lives? So first, I want to say this. I want to talk about talking. I want to talk about talking and listening. So first, we all know really good conversations take time, don't they? That's why good friendships develop over time. So when you imagine a really good conversation, what happens in that conversation? Well, we look at each other's face, and we can see their hands, the movement of their hands, and we can see sometimes the pain or the joy in their eyes, right? And we hear the tone of their voice. And we listen to them, this is a big one, pause and struggle. Like, hold on just a second. What do I mean? I don't know what I mean. Hold on just a second. You know, that little moment right there, you're giving grace to the other person. You're like, it's okay, I'll wait. Collect your thoughts. Like, you know, some of us process out loud, and we need space for that. You know, Tanya knows that about me, right? I'm just like wandering everywhere in a conversation, and she's like, So, you know, there's grace that you have to extend to each other, right? And there's this sense in which we're working it out. And how do good conversations end? With a handshake, with a hug, with an affirmation. Like, this was great to be together. Totally, you know? So when you picture a good conversation, it's wonderful. Now picture having a hard conversation with that same person. What do you do? Let's say you believe something differently about, you know, all this crazy stuff that we all don't agree on, right? Vaccines, masks, politics, race, ethical issues, whatever it is, right? Let's say, I'm sure we can picture bad conversations we've had with people, but just picture a good one. Have you had a good one sometime in the last 2 years? Have you had a good one? What was it like? Well, it probably sounded something like this. Hey, I've just been feeling da-da-da-da, and they go, oh, really? No, I haven't read that article. No, I haven't seen that. Oh, I didn't know that, actually. Oh, interesting. I kind of see it differently. And oh, really? You see it like that? Oh, that's interesting. You know, and you go back. It's like a tennis match, right? You just ding, 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 ding. But you see each other's eyes. You hear each other's voice. You actually see tears. Like, it's been really hard to think differently than you on this. And like, ah, like, is there any way we can just hold on to our friendship amidst all the polarization? Totally. And there's a hug and whatever, right? Like, beautiful. That's beautiful because that's a real conversation. And you walk away, let me guess, the person didn't change your mind. Can I get an amen? Just joking. She's like, you probably didn't change your mind. You know, like maybe some of us might change our mind slightly, but your mind was probably not changed. But what happened was, is that big blob mass of these people who are all, you know, jerks and think differently than you, you're like, oh no, actually I know one of them. And they're great. And we had a really good conversation about it. And you know, I don't agree, but I totally see how they could have gotten there, right? Good conversation is so beautiful, so powerful. Now, again, thought experiment here, move that online. Would it be possible? Maybe. And maybe you can tell me a moment where it was possible. But the MO of Twitter is clever, witty, sharp, and sarcastic, right? The vibe on those long Facebook things that go on, it's like two people just going for it, right? 30 messages long, bam, 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 bam. It's clever, witty, sharp, sarcastic. Why? Because the tool cannot get you to the kitchen. It will not be able to provide that service to you because it's not embodied. You're not there with the person. You don't see the pain. How many of those long debates that you've found on whatever platform could be instantly solved if you just put them in a room together? When I see your face, when I hear your voice, when I listen to your struggle, then I see you. I see you. And I have a greater opportunity to love you. Okay, that was the first thing. The second thing, that took too long, the first one, but secondly, I want to talk about, really quick, loneliness that comes from comparison. Comparison. And honestly, this is like the bread and butter of social media, right? In the digital age, we know that digital platforms can contribute to a deeper loneliness as we get caught in what? Comparing my life with yours. as we scroll through social media, we're caught in a comparison that seems to fan the flame of emptiness in my life, right? So I look at the campfire scene and I'm like, oh, that would be awesome. You're in your like work cubicle. You're like, oh, that's so cool. Wish I was there, you know? And then you look at the Christmas holidays, you know, you're like, oh, so fun. Like, they all have matching Christmas jammies. We don't have matching Christmas jammies or whatever, you know? And you're kind of going through there and you look at the laughter in that photo. Oh, they must laugh all the time, you know? And look at the love and the romance that they have. I want that kind of romance. You know, and you're just sitting there scrolling through. And it really affects us, you know, doesn't it? And we compare, and then we get lonely. And it's voyeurism, right? Like we're moving into each other. You know, want to peek into each other's lives to see what's going on. But it's a curated image, right? Like it's what I want you to see in my life, you know? But how many hours have we wasted comparing our lives with others? But think about it. If you actually, and many of us do, we actually know some of these people, right? And we know what they're walking through, and we know the things that they're struggling with. And behind the facade of the pictures on Instagram, we're able to see the real human being and what they're actually going through. And they're going through beautiful things, but they're also going through hard things. And we're like, we're in community with them. We're walking with them. I get to pray with them. I know their temptations. I know their struggles. And I'm a brother to him. And so when I see him having fun, what do? I move from comparison to celebration, right? Not always, but like it gives me the opportunity to, because I know, oh, they needed that time together as a family. Oh, I'm so glad they got it. Oh, it's so cool that they ended up there. That's so great. My good friend, Jeff Renaud, who's on staff here, our Yorkson campus pastor, I was just preaching at Yorkson a few minutes ago, and he came up on stage and gave me a hug because he and his family were just at Disneyland for 6 days. Let's celebrate that. when instead of comparing and, you're in Disneyland, you know? And it's like, no, I know Jeff. Jeff's my friend. I know Jeff and Michelle needed a break. They needed that. They needed that time with their kids. And they had a blast. And so if I move from comparison to celebration, and I go, well, I know Jeff. See, I know the real Jeff in daily life, Jeff. And I know that it's awesome that he's there. And I want to celebrate that. Even though, wow, right? Palm trees and warm weather, but celebrate. Yeah. But that's the thing. Is I want my heart to move to that place, you know, and out of the cycle of loneliness and into real relationships. So again, let me land the plane here. What does it look like to be present? What does it look like to be present? Look at Jesus. He was so present in the lives of people that he loved. Man, everywhere Jesus went, when we read about it, he's like there. He's like there 110%, right? He's very present with the people in the room, in the moment. He sees their need. He loves them. He's not distracted. He's there for them. This is a gift we can offer our friends and family, right? I love how Jay Kim says it. He says, when it comes to the truly important stuff of life, there's no substitute for showing up. There's just no substitute for showing up. It has been so wonderful the last several years. There was a group of guys here at the church that kind of all became Christians, or they were new to Jesus a few years ago. And it's just been fun to be together with them on this journey of discipleship and apprenticeship to Jesus. And these are amazing guys. I love them. And as we've walked through the last several years, things are complex, things are difficult, but there's this presence in each other's lives. And I love watching them love one another, and it's beautiful. But I guess my encouragement is it takes time. Deep roots take time. If you're feeling today, I don't want you to be discouraged. If you're like, I don't have this, Matthew. It's okay. We're life groups, freedom session, alpha. These are like what we call on-ramps, you know? Everything from divorce care to living well to, I'm forgetting everything. But anyway, just lots of things going on. Youth group, whatever, right? So opportunities to on-ramps to community. And from there, allow the Spirit to move it into more of an organic thing, right? Like into each other's lives, calling each other, how you doing? And over the weeks, months, years, let it grow deep. Again, Deb and Calvin, right? I'm so grateful that they're surrounded by community at their time of need. I'm so grateful. Amidst the horror of what they're walking through, This is a joyful thing, that there are actually people who love them and who are going to lift them up when they can't carry themselves, right? I thought about Life Together, and I thought about the lyrics of one of the best songs ever. It's one of my favorites. It's old school, super old, but the words of Stand By Me. When the night has come and the land is dark, and the moon is the only light we'll see. No, I won't be afraid. I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand by me. And this is the design that Jesus had for the church. Who are you standing by, and who is standing by you? Let's move out away from our screens into beautiful relationship of love for each other. It's going to be messy. We're not a group who sees things eye to eye always, but we're called into each other's lives. Again, Jesus, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. Let's take a moment to pray. Would you stand with me? And we're just going to take an opportunity, if you feel comfortable, to close your eyes. We're going to spend some time listening to Jesus here. And as we're listening, if you'll remember week one of our series, we talked about the rich young ruler. He had a money problem. But what did the Bible say? It says Jesus looked at him and loved him. And he was calling him away from money into relationship with himself. And that's what he's doing right now in this room. He's looking at you and he loves you. Jesus loves you at this moment, right? Loves you all the time, but he loves you right here in this place today. What is he calling you to let go of? To turn off? To delete? To walk away from? In order that you might come to him? In order that you might enjoy deeper community with one another? He was willing to make that ultimate sacrifice for us, giving away all his riches, coming humbly, dying a death on a cross, giving up his life, that you'd be set free. And he's calling you to freedom. What does freedom look like for you? Just with your eyes closed there, just a few opportunities to join our prayer team in the prayer room. First of all, if you just have a need, a desire, or you've lost community, they would love to pray with you. Just to watch God begin to grow a new community in your life. Also, just, you might have some loved ones that have pulled away from community. And the prayer team would love to intercede with you and just to pray that there'd be restored relationship. We're finally, grief, right? Maybe there's some grief at the loss of community, the grief at the loss of a loved one, maybe even. And our prayer team would love to come alongside you and pray. And so they're just back in the back of the room. Feel free to pray with them. But Jesus, as we finish here, we just thank you that you are so good and you're calling us to life and to freedom. And we pray that we would just be faithful to do what you've called us to do. We want more of you. We want more of your presence in our lives. Would you come fill us, Holy Spirit? We know that ultimately relationship with you is all that matters, and we know that we will come to know you in a beautiful way as we walk in love with each other. Would you do that among us? We thank you and trust you.